Our guest for this morning is Charles Moody. Charles and Kehinde Moody are here with us. God called them from New York, although they came from farther away than that. Charles was born in New York, yeah, but families came from outside of there, but called them from New York to Chicago. And he's going to tell you about that today, to plant a church and to reach out to that city there. And it is a tremendous ministry and what God is doing there. An enormous need right there here in the continental United States as well, that he'll share a little with you about as well. But my wife and I have known Charles and Kehinde for many years. They were a part of our congregation in Yonkers, and we were just excited and are excited to see how God is continuing to use them. They're now nationally appointed home missionaries with the Assemblies of God. So I guess I'll let you introduce your wife also, or she can stand as you come up. Would you give him a big warm welcome as he comes? Amen. Pastor Charles Moody. Charles' family hails from Jamaica. There's some Jamaicans in the house. Where are they at? Yes.
I met some this morning.
Yeah, and Kehinde is Nigerian. Yeah, yes. Was born there as well. Where are the Nigerians at? Any Nigerians in here? I know they were in the early service. Oh, see some hands in the room as well. So, and from Jamaica and Nigeria to Chicago. That's a God plan right there.
It is. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you got that mic.
Yes. Amen. Good morning, Silver Spring.
Good morning.
Could I, now, Pastor keep calling me a guest. He didn't get the memo yet. See, I'm not a guest. This is the only pastor I have ever had since I've been saved. So wherever he goes, he's still going to be my pastor. Amen? So you don't have to call me a guest speaker or anything. You could just call me Cousin Charlie.
All right?
All right? Don't call me Pastor Charlie. You could just call me Cousin Charlie. Amen? This is my pastor. I love him. When we got this call to Chicago, Pastor did something that many other pastors tend not to do. So many times when I wasn't just part of his congregation, I was part of his staff. Yeah. And when a staff pastor says, hey, I feel like God is calling me somewhere, the pastor's usually be like, then go. I didn't like you anyway. But that's not what this pastor did. When he heard that we received this call from God to go to Chicago, he came with me. He didn't leave the church in Yonkers. But he came with me to make sure that this call of God was for real. Because, you know, when you're young, he wanted to make sure the voice in my head wasn't some, you know, wasn't the pizza from the night before. But this was actually God speaking. And he packed up his clothes. I didn't even invite him. He said, I'm going with you. I said, great. He got an airline ticket, rented a car, and he came out to Chicago with us. And that was huge for me. Confirming the call of God that my pastor wants to come with me to make sure that it was God. And I wasn't afraid because I knew it was God. But he had to come for himself to see, is this Charles being crazy or is this really God? And he came out there, and by the end of the trip, he said, Charles, I believe God is calling you to Chicago. And I tell people, talk is cheap. A lot of people talk a good talk, but talk is cheap if you can't follow it up. And he said, I believe that God is calling you out here, and we're going to support you for the next year. For the whole year. I ain't telling you the amount, but I should have still been on staff the way he was paying me. But for a whole year, he sent us out there saying, whether you have a church or not, I believe that God has called you here and we're going to support you.
He's
amen.
A good investment.
Amen. And then I want to talk about Sarai.
I love Sarai. Yeah.
Now, Sarai, if you get around this, you'd be like, is that his pastor's wife or is that his sister? Sister Sarai is like my sister. She, my wife, they got a good relationship. But she's like my sister. We kid a lot. We talk a lot, but we love one another. Sarai is the only person who could call me from O'Hare Airport in Chicago at 10 o'clock at night and say, my flight's not coming until 6 o'clock in the morning. Could you pick me up? I will go pick her up and then wake back up again at 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure that she catches. She's the only person. So even though we're cousins and you get stuck in Chicago, don't call me. I'm not coming to get Cousin Charlie, I don't know you like that. The truth is, I may not even pick up the phone. And when I check the voicemail, I'm going to act like I didn't get it. All right, let me stop. Let me start preaching. Amen. You guys met my wife. She's my rock star, my superhero. She's my everything. I love her. My joke to most people is that I don't know. I mean, God has really blessed me. I don't know what sin she committed that she got me. So she's still in the process of repenting. But I thank God for my wife. Amen. Amen. So let us start our journey. 6 years ago, God called us to the south side of Chicago. Sarai, don't be agreeing with me down there. I heard you. But 6 years ago, the Lord called us to the south side of Chicago. And you know, Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal. All right. I don't know if some people in here is afraid to tell people that they're Pentecostal, but I'm not afraid.
That's right.
Because I believe, amen. I believe being Pentecostal is about the mission. See, when God filled people up with his spirit, it wasn't that he was just filling them up with the spirit so they could only speak in tongues and get a little excited in church. But being filled with the spirit of God, I can remember May of 2007, I got filled with the spirit of God. And when I was filled with the spirit of God, something happened to me that this guy who has done some terrible things, that the Holy Spirit actually dwells inside of me, and that God found me fit to fill me up with his spirit so that he could empower me to share the gospel with other people.
Yeah.
That's what being Pentecostal is all about. Amen. Yeah. And in 2006, 2012, 6 years ago, the Lord called us to leave everything that we knew to move to the south side of Chicago. I remember when we moved, July 4th, over 40 people were shot in one day.
Yeah.
My mother, who's a Jamaican, when I told her that we was gonna move to the south side of Chicago, she asked me a question or made a statement. I don't know which one it was. I don't know if she was asking me a question or she was making a statement. But what she said to me is, "You're mad." I don't know if that's a question or a statement. I don't know if she was asking, "Are you mad?" Or she was saying, "You are mad." But my wife and I, we knew that God was calling us to the south side of Chicago. And my poor old mother could not believe it. Now, called my pastor. Pastor, talk him out of it. He has lost his mind. Help him to see that God wouldn't send him and his family to Chicago. But the call was so real that my two boys, all they knew was Yonkers Christian Assembly. My wife, her entire family, like her siblings were saved. We all went to church together. Nieces and cousins, my boys, all they knew was Yonkers Christian Assembly. I mean, they attended there in school from pre-K. They was there every day. They went to church. All they knew was YCA. And when we told them in 2012 that we were going to move, my younger son, who's the talker, said, "You don't love me. You don't love me. If you loved me, you wouldn't move." My older son, he just cried. And our worship leader at the time said, "If God spoke to your dad, he will speak to you." I don't know. I heard some people say, "Amen."
Yeah.
But I don't know if we quite believe that the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit who's in my sons is the same Holy Spirit that's in you.
That's right.
Like the Holy Spirit in my son is not like a baby Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, like God didn't give them like the 2-year-old Holy Spirit. He actually gave them the same Holy Spirit that lives in us. And my boys would pray, and that this Holy Spirit that actually lives inside of them began to do something through their little simple prayer.
Yeah.
"God, if I'm supposed to go to Chicago, tell me." Well, my younger son asked God, "Tell me." And that night, my son had a dream in Syracuse. It was in Buffalo, all in this nice house. And my younger son had a dream. And he said, "Dad, I had a dream that God spoke to me. And he said, Josiah, I want you to go to Chicago." And Josiah said, he looked up at God and told him, "No." Now, if you know my son, that doesn't sound wrong, if you know him. So Josiah said, Dad, I looked back up at God and he had a belt in his hand. And he said, I'm going to Chicago. Now, there may be some folks in here who don't believe in corporal punishment, but I just want you to know God does. My son had a change of heart. Well, my other son, he also had a dream. And he said, Dad, I was on this beach in Chicago and I liked it. Now, the same mother who called pastor was trying to teach my boys how to tell their dad they're not going to Chicago. She was teaching them, and my boys, who are young, 8 years old, 9 years old, was telling grandma, we have to go. We have to go. And my boys, from that day forward, my boys, not one time has ever said to us, I hate Chicago. I want to go back home. See, if God is able to, if God is calling us, he's going to prepare everything.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen? He's going to prepare everything. So today, even as I share with you, I just want you to know that I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. But I want you to step out faith that God is not just calling supernatural missionaries. That every single person in this room is a missionary. And that God is calling us all to step out in faith to do things. And I just want to share some of our experiences of what God has done when we stepped out in faith. I want to tell you, the last 6 years of my life has been miraculous.
Yeah.
Miraculous. Every month for the last 6 years, I kid you not, God has done something miraculous. There's an expectation within inside of me when I wake up, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? And I believe as believers, we need to also wake up with an expectation. God, what is it that you're going to do today? Lord, how are you going to use me today? I believe it has to be inside of us. It has to be stirred inside of us. So we stepped out in faith and we moved. We was on our way to Chicago. Now, my wife was a public school teacher in Westchester County in Yonkers. My wife resigned her position. I resigned my position. We're out there. We're going to Chicago for 2 days. On the two-day visit, a school calls her from Chicago. My wife hasn't heard from the school in months. On a two-day visit, we're driving to Chicago to get a place to live. The school calls my wife, Uno Charter School. Hey, Miss Moody, are you still interested in this position? Yes, man, we have no job. I'm interested in any position. What, you need a maintenance man? I could do it. She said, yes. Could you come in today for interview? We can't come today. Well, she can't come today. They don't want me. I can't come today. I'm actually on the road. Well, can you come tomorrow? Yes. My wife goes for the interview the next day. 30 minutes later, she comes down. I'm like, oh, Lord, they didn't want her. Give me words to encourage her. Man of faith. I want to be there for my wife. My wife comes in the car. I got the job. I said, hallelujah. I was praying that God would bless you. Amen. Then my wife said something incredible. She said the money that they, the Nigerians, I tell you. Something with these Nigerians. But my wife comes into the car. And she said, they didn't offer me enough money. Hey now, be grateful. They gave you a job, just take the little bit of money. She said, no, I'm an accountant. I said, you know, I'm a man of faith. You sure? I'm an accountant, they offer. She counted their offer. They gave her 10 grand more.
Right.
I said, look at God. Look at man of faith. God is awesome. Man, I love you, God. Same day, we go to the a private school because Chicago is really segregated. Like, this is beautiful to me. I love this. Like, my church is predominantly African American. The south side of Chicago is predominantly African American. So when you hear about, like, the black on black crime, like, there's no one else to shoot. Like, I'm pretty sure if there was a white guy around who had a problem, they may shoot him, but there is no white guy. You know, you're talking about for miles and miles, there's only black people. You know, my pastor go there. I say, do you feel uncomfortable? I say, do you notice that people look at you? It doesn't matter. I bring Spanish people. People look at them like, what are you doing here? Like, I have friends who visit. South side of Chicago, majority African American. I mean, you're talking about 300, 400,000 all in one area. So, we're looking for a school that's diverse. Can't find one on the south side where we live. So we go to the city area, the South Loop, it's called. We go there and we find a school. My boys is running around, touching everything, liking it. They jumping around. Yes, Daddy, we love this school. Yes, we love it. We love it. I said, stop touching stuff. You don't love anything. You don't even know these people. The lady comes and she tells us how much it costs. So how much, the lady's trying to tell us the curriculum. I don't care about no curriculum. How much is this lovely place? The lady looks at us and without a hiccup, $10,500 per kid. I said, who? Man of faith, right? I told my boy, stop touching stuff. I don't know if she saw the faith on my face. But she said, Mr. Moody, we help pastors. I said, really? Where's this application process? I will fill it out right now. Fill out the application. The school awards us $18,000.
Yeah.
$18,000. So now our boys is going to the school. What I'm sharing with you today is that when you step out in faith, God will provide.
Yes.
Not just financially, but emotionally, spiritually, God will provide. So now my boys is in school. My wife is working. I'm a homeless pastor. I said, God, thank you for what you have done for my family. But man, like, this ain't cool. That's how I talk to God. I don't know how y'all talk to God. I'd be like, I'm not really feeling this. I'm homeless. I mean, I'm ministering to the people on the streets because that's my church for now. But I began to pray, and before I go, and the Lord told me, Charles, you're not going to build a church. So I went to Chicago, and what I didn't realize was that there's like 3 to 4 churches on each block. I mean, each, like, right next to each other. And I said, oh, now I see why God didn't want me to build a church, because there's plenty. But 6 weeks later, I meet a couple, Chris and Monica De Laurentiis, also U.S. missionaries. And when we got there, all their staff, all their people just quit. And they were like, we have no support staff. And I told them, God has called us to reach the gangbangers, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the at-risk teens. God has called us to reach people outside the walls. And the man looked at me and said, we are too. I said, get out of here. Man of faith, you gotta be kidding me. He said, if you don't believe me, come see for yourself on Tuesday. Can you put that picture up of the church? Come see for yourself on Tuesday. I come that Tuesday, and I'd never seen a church like this before. People was drunk. People was high. There was prostitutes. There was gangbangers. There was all these people in one building. I had never ever seen anything like this before. I said, God, you are amazing. Sorry, it's my fault. It's my fault because I didn't have this up the last clip, so it's really my fault. I just felt led by the Lord to show you this building. But I meet this couple, Chris and Monica De Laurentiis, and they said, well, if you really feel God has called you here, gave us the keys to the building. Now, this is not someone who they just met us. Gave us the keys to the building to say, yes, come minister with us. This is your office. Clean it up. 2 years ago, this same couple takes my wife and I out to a breakfast, and they say to us, we've been waiting for you for 16 years. They said, you are going to be the lead pastors. Pastor Williams was trying to come to the pastor to torch, and he brought Sarai, and the flight got canceled or crashed. That's how I mess with Sarai, sorry. But after being there with 2 years, they hand the church over to us. And they say, you are now the lead pastors. We want nothing to do with the church. You're going to be responsible for raising the finances. But what we really want you to do is to run with the vision that God has given you in New York. 2.5 acres on the south side of Chicago. 3 buildings. We have our ministry building. We have another building where we live. 6 apartments in that building. And then we have a 3-story building. Now, all these buildings sound great. They're all over 100 years old. And they need tons of work. But to develop these buildings and to run with the ministry God has given you, they walked away. 2.5 acres of land, 3 buildings to just run with the vision. I said, God, you are actually in this thing. Yeah. That you mean the God that we read about in the Bible actually does the things that he said he will do? Yes. That if we would step out in faith and begin to follow him, he will begin to do his work? And we watch it. So how do we how do we reach these folks on the south side? Somebody asked me. That's a good question. But we have a motto. It's called the 4 T's. It goes trauma. We go where the people are on the streets. We go into the public schools. We go where people are hurting, to the jails, the homeless shelters. Wherever people are, we go to right where they are. We reach people who's in traumatic situation. I don't know if you know, but when people's in trauma, they don't take themselves to the hospital. Somebody has to call an ambulance. So we go where they are. And then we treat them. Once they build enough trust with us, they come to our church. And when they come to our church, they actually see people who look like them. And they say, wow, I feel welcome. But that's not it. We don't just want them to come to church and serve them. See, I thank God for churches like this, that we have people who's addicted to drugs and who's homeless, who could call our church a church so we could treat them. And then they come and they receive their treatment, but we don't stop there. We say, hey, listen, it's good that you're here, but God wants to do something in your mind. God wants to transform you by the renewing of your mind. So we teach classes, discipleship class, life skill classes. We're going to start a drug treatment class soon so that people will be set free and delivered from what they're doing. And then we say, hey, even though you was a drug addict, even though you're a felon, God still wants to use you.
That's right.
Come on, let us train you and use you in ministry. And what we have found, the people who get saved and delivered, they're our best.
That's right.
Evangelists. Yeah. They're not afraid to go back on the corners like, hey, listen, remember I used to smoke crack with you? I don't smoke crack no more. I got ladies who stand up on the street and be like, I used to be a prostitute selling my body for crack. You should see the kid's face. They be like, ooh. She telling all her business. But God is doing a work on the south side because the church is like this. Amen? Now I would like to introduce to you Rosalind. Rosalind's story is a story that's really common. And Rosalind is someone who we minister to on a regular basis at our church. She's not delivered yet, but we're believing God to do it. Could you play Rosalind's story?
My name is Roslyn Butler, and I'm 44 years old. I have been addicted to crack cocaine and heroin for 6 years. When I was a little girl, I used to sit in class and daydream about my life, what I would be when I grow up, how I would change the world. And then it happened. From 3 to 7 years old, I was with my mom. My brother father would molest me. Mom would lock me in the closet, beat me, torture me, hang me out the window, drown me in tubs, burn me with cigarettes. And I would just sit in the closet. When she locked me in the closet, I just would sit there and I'd cry, cry, cry all day long because I had no way out. She locks me in the closet. I'm laying there, nowhere to use the bathroom, nowhere of eating. I'm laying, in a little small room. With like newspaper, no powder. I mean, no blanket or nothing like that. Just newspaper. I would eat off newspaper. No fork, no spoon. And this would go on every day, all day. And I'm like, oh, what am I to do? What am I to do? age of seven, I mean, yeah, as I got older, age of seven, he would take me out the closet. Took me by the head, threw me in the closet. Locked the door, and I cried. Every day I would cry. I couldn't go outside, I had to wear outside. I couldn't, I wonder why my sisters and brothers would go to parties and go outside and play, but I couldn't, you know, because he wanted to come and molest me all day long. When I was getting high, I wanted to learn how to tweak. I didn't know what a tweak was. And I wondered why she would take a hit and go on floors and look out the windows and stuff. And I said, oh, well, shoot, girl, excuse me. We got some more of that stuff, you know. And I'd take the hit, but it wasn't for me. I wasn't feeling it, you know. And I'd go back in there again and try it again. I wanted to feel the same thing she, you know, she's feeling. Just wasn't working. So now I'm sneaking, getting high in the house, my mother-in-law house in the bathroom. And I'm steady smoking, getting high.
Rosalind's story is a story that's common on the south side of Chicago. And a lot of people who's outside of Chicago try to bring change through education programs. And with education, that's okay. People need to be educated. But people also then try to fix people with money. Hey, maybe they need some more money, so let's give them some more government assistance. Let's give them money. And then people say, hey, let's rip down all the projects. And we could give them better housing, and this will then also fix the problem as well. But what we have realized is that the only thing that's going to heal and deliver people is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the answer in Chicago. Yeah. You can bring in more police officers. That's not going to stop the violence. See, Rosalind is out there, and we minister to her. But Rosalind, children are the ones that's really reaping havoc in the south side of Chicago. See, it's the children whose parents have struggled with drug addictions and have been alone and left alone by themselves. And the gangs then say, hey, shorty, I can take care of you. You're cold? Here's a coat. You need some money? Here's some money. And you know what? When someone in a gang dies, I have witnessed this on my own. They pay for the funeral. You know, when someone dies in the church, sometimes we don't want to, you know, everybody's scrambling because they don't want people to ask for money. In the gangs, they don't do that. They send them away. And these young guys, they look up to that and say, look how they honored him. And now they're ready to die. See, the south side of Chicago needs a witness. Yeah. They need people who believe in the power of Jesus Christ. Not people who just talk about it. They need people who's going to believe it. They need someone who's going to witness. There's a lot of churches. And a lot of those churches are dead. And the people are not going in those dead churches. And what the folks on the south side is they need a witness. But the only way a witness is going to go out there sometime is somebody will send. Right. I have two boys. I have a wife. But if it wasn't for churches like this that would send us, we wouldn't even be able to go out there. Right. Because the truth is, even as a missionary, we still got to eat.
Right.
We still got to sleep. I still have responsibilities that I got to take care of. And I thank God for the body of Christ. Amen. That sends missionaries all over the world. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to ask you a question. What's the true mission? What's the true mission? See, I love the Assembly of God because I believe that they have the true mission. The greatest missionary that ever walked this earth was Jesus Christ. He spent time praying to his Father. He ministered to thousands. He fed thousands. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He confronted mediocrity over and over again. He lived with his disciples. He taught his disciples. Jesus was busy. He was really busy. But he was never too busy for the true mission. And I believe today, if Jesus was here, I believe if Jesus was walking among us today, what he would say to us today is, stop. So Father, I just pray right now that you would help us, Lord God, not to be so busy, but to stop for you. In Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from Mark 10, 46 through 52. I'm a fast reader. If you have it on your cell phone, I'm going to start. All right, so it's Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Here we go. It says, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I love this passage. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to lay his life down. But before he gets there, he's doing what he usually do. He has his entourage. He has people crowding him. He has people cheering. He has people who need to be met. And on the side of this road, you have a man, blind Bartimaeus, who hears the commotion and asks the question, what's going on? And they said, oh, it's just Jesus. It's just who? Who? Jesus? Son of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crazy part of this passage is that the people who could see tell him to be quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, this man has a need, and he knows that the only person who could heal him is Jesus. But the people who could see is saying, shut up. Be quiet. I'm telling you, if you have a need, never stop shouting. If you ever have a need, don't ever stop shouting, regardless of who's telling you to shut up. But the blind man, I always tell people, he's from the hood. Because I can see him. He can't really see the people, but I can see him smirking like, what? Forget you. And the Bible says he shout even more. He shout even louder. If it was me, I would have been in the person's ear who told me to shut up. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. And the powerful, in verse 49, is so powerful. Jesus, who got so much going on. Jesus, in verse 49, it says, the Bible says, Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. Called the blind man. Jesus stopped. See, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost.
That's right.
See, the real mission is people. See, I have a church building, but you know what I realize? It's not about the building.
That's right.
It's not about the comforts. It's about people. Jesus left everything to reach the people. That was the mission. Chicago, we have plenty of lost people. Africa, there's lost people. There's Scotland, there's lost people. There's people that's lost all over the world. But you know what? There's lost people who sit right next to us every day. There's lost people who live right next to us. There's lost people who works with us. There's lost people who go to school with us. But you know what? Sometimes we're so busy that we don't have time to stop. And sometimes even in my own busyness, because I'm busy too. I'm a missionary. I have to raise support. I have to preach. I have sons that have sporting events, concerts. I have a wife that still loves me and want to hang out with me. I'm busy. I'm busy, and sometimes through my business, you know, Pastor, you ever had those days you're trying to write your message and people keep bothering you?
Yeah.
No, I'm like, man, God, you know I got to preach on Sunday. I don't want to talk to nobody right now. And it's like the Holy Spirit will come and tap me on my shoulder and remind me, Charles, remember you was once in darkness. You was once lost. and someone stopped for you, you think you could stop for them? And I would be so humbled, and I would go and speak to those people. But there's blind Bartimaeuses all around us. And Chicago City Life Center, we're a mission field that reach those that most of the time people don't want to stop for. People don't want to stop for the gangbangers. People don't want to stop for the drug addicts. But because the church is like this, it gives us the opportunity to stop for those who are broken and lost without Jesus Christ. Now, right now, we live in the third most violent community in Chicago. But this is what we believe, that the light of Jesus shines the brightest in the darkest area.
Yes.
Now, but that same mother who called my pastor, what's going on with my son? She came to Chicago a couple of days later just to make sure I wasn't crazy, make sure her grandbabies was living in a good place. And she came down on a Saturday, and she came to church with me on that Sunday. And my mother, who don't attend church, got saved in that service.
Yeah.
That God saved my mother. I had to bring her all the way from New York to Chicago so that she would get saved. And my mother went back on that airplane and said, "Charles, you're right where you're supposed to be."
Amen.
See, God is a God. If we step out in faith, he will begin to do supernatural things in our life.
Yes.
But we got to begin to do the natural. We need to begin to do those things. And because of your giving to missions, lives are being transformed, not just in Chicago, but all over the world. I want to end with this. I want to show you a story of Lee, a gentleman who God is changing his life as we speak. This is not something that happened 10 years ago. These are things that's happening within the year that God is changing and transforming life. Thank you for all that you do for missions. Could you play Lee's video?
My name is Lee Harris. I'm 48 years old, and I'm from the south side of Chicago. It's kind of funny. This is not a position that I ever saw myself in. This is far from anywhere that I ever thought that I would be. I was homeless for 10 years or better.
Was living on the streets, battled through, you know, so much. I mean, as a veteran, has had so much trauma in his life.
I was a carpenter, so I made halfway decent money. It's just, it wasn't about the money that I made, it's what I did with it. I used a lot. And at some point in time, I thought that's all that life had for me. And it was interesting, it's an AG pastor that introduced me to Teen Challenge. Pastor Charles Moody on the south side, Chicago City Life Center. And I was going to his church on Tuesday nights because they had a service, and then afterwards they fed. I don't know if it was that I wasn't happy out there or that I was lost. And he directed me here. And that's where everything changed, walking in the doors of Teen Challenge.
And watching him push through and succeed in the program, and now, several months later, not just continuing to be sober, but be productive. He's working. He's has a plan and a purpose that he's living out.
I actually thank God for Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge helped me in more ways than probably even than I know. Every aspect of my life. I have a child who for a long time never wanted to see me. Now, I talk to my daughter every day. I missed out on a lot of my daughter's life. Thanks to God, I won't be missing out on my grandson's life. So, he's restoring my chance at being a good parent.
It's so different than where he was 2 years ago when he first came into our program.
At one point in time, I was suicidal. I just didn't know it. I didn't have the guts to jump off a roof or put a gun to my head, so I tried doing it one little bitty bag at a time. Now, I'm more interested in living, so that little bitty bag, jumping off the roof, putting a gun in my head doesn't even come into the equation. Now, it's all about what I can do next to improve myself, to improve my relationship with God, and improve my family. Teen Challenge is a lifesaver.
Hey, man, Charles and Kahende, we appreciate you so much. You answering the call, the work that you've done there. Would you let them know you appreciate them as well? Amen. They're right there on the front line. In just a moment, our ushers are going to come, and they're going to distribute our Faith Promise cards for this year. If you don't know what a Faith Promise card is, I want to explain it to you a little bit just before they come throughout the room. A Faith Promise card is not a pledge card. A Faith Promise card is a card that you fill out where you say on there, in fact, I think I left mine in the back, but I'll get another one. But the card, you fill it out, and you say on there, there's one right there. God, as you provide, this is what I'm going to give to the cause of missions through my local church. Well, what's the difference between that and a pledge? A pledge would be something that you'd be really locking in an amount. If I was going to make a pledge, I would sit down and I would evaluate my budget, and I would see how much money I had each month that I could afford, and then I could make a pledge. That's not what a faith promise is. An unemployed person can make a faith promise. Someone with no job can fill out a faith promise card. A faith promise is you're saying, God, I'm believing you, and if you provide this for me, then I will give it to the cause of missions. That's what a faith promise is. Margaret Coley was a senior citizen that I knew for a number of years. She's gone home to be with Jesus now. And 1 year in filling out a card like this, Margaret Coley, she didn't fill it out for the year. She filled a card out for 3 months. She had no money. She received a Social Security check each month. There was no pension. There was no extra finances. There was always more month than there was money. And Margaret Coley sat there in that service, and I heard the story afterwards from her, and she said, God, I'm going to write down $90 on here, $30 a month for the next 3 months, and I don't know how I would ever give it, but if God, if you'll give it to me, then you can give it through me. If you'll get me the money, I'll give it to this cause here. And she filled out her card. And about a week later, she went to her mailbox one day, and she opened it up. And there was a letter in there from an insurance company that she didn't even have a policy with any longer. And in their doing, their reviewing of their books, they realized that a few years before, somehow they had overcharged her $90. And in that letter, there was a check for $90 made out to her. I said, you should have written $100,000 down on that card. Why did you write? And there was $90 written down on that card. And she said, God, if you'll get me the $90, I'll give it. And God got her the 90. That's what a faith promise card is. A faith promise card is not sitting down and figuring out, well, I think I could give $25, $50, $100. That's not what it is. It is, God, give me the faith to believe you, that you will bless me and provide me with this. And then you're committing yourself saying, God, as you provide me with the funds through my employment, through however it is, I'll give that to missions. That's what that is. So you're going to receive these around the room. When you receive the card, there's a place on there. It says on the card weekly and monthly faith promise. I'm going to ask if you put a monthly amount down. It also has your name on there and things like that, but it's a perforated card. So what you're going to do is after you fill it out, you're going to tear it. And the little perforated part, you're going to keep this as a bookmark or something like that to help you remember the amount you wrote down. The other cards you're going to turn in, there's a stack right there from the early service. You say, well, Pastor, why do I put my name and my info on there? What's going to happen? Is the church going to come and knock on my door and ask me for the money or whatever else? Nothing like that's going to happen because this is between you and God. But I will commit this to you. I will commit this to you. Let's say you filled this card out. Let's say it was you filled it out and you put down here John Smith and you put down $100 a month. I give you my word that I'm going to ask God to bless you with that $100 a month. I'm going to say, God, John said if you would bless him with $100 a month, he'd give it to support missionaries. God, would you give it to him? Would you bless him and open the windows of heaven and pour out on him? So I'd love to know that we could agree together with him. Nobody's going to come and ever ask you. This is between you and God. Nobody's going to ask you for the money. But I do want to pray and know that we can agree together with you for God to do that as well. But nobody else is going to see your card. It's not going to go around. It's not like that. This is a you and God thing. So you're going to fill that out. We're going to collect them. Now, when you receive them, in fact, ushers, you could go ahead and start to distribute them around the room now. As you receive them, you're wanting to believe God. You're writing down an amount by faith. An amount by faith that you're writing down. Here's what I want you to catch here. I've been in services before where at about this time, the pastor, the preacher, the leader would say, let's all pray about what God would have us to give. And I've heard people say this before. I've actually heard people say, maybe God doesn't want you to give anything. Don't write anything down. Well, that doesn't even make any sense because that wouldn't even be consistent with God's word. Because God's word said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they be preached to unless the preacher is sent, right? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So no one can go unless they're sent. God's already called us to send people. God's already called us to go. So we already know that God wants us to give. And we're believing for God to bless us so we can do that. Let me let those cards get out. Then I want to give you one last thing as you fill them out. Ushers, if anybody... Now, if you're a guest of ours, we are not expecting you to fill this out today. This is giving to our local church to support our missionaries. We have over 50 missionaries a month, the missions organizations that we give to on a monthly basis. We want to see that grow and increase. But those who call Silver Spring Assembly home each week, this is the way that we give to support missionaries around the world. So be a guest of ours. They're not expecting me to fill this card out. But if ushers, if there's anybody who attends here regularly and they say, I don't need a card, give them too. And because those of us who call the church home, we definitely want to be a part of this. Have we given those out all around the room now? Now watch this. Watch this before you write them out and we close. And then I am going to pray over them. Watch this. We come to this moment and we say to ourselves, this is what happens when we talk about money at church. When we talk about money at church, we tend to get real spiritual. Real spiritual. We're not spiritual with our money anywhere else, but we get real spiritual at church. At church, everything changes. If you go to the mall this afternoon after church and you're walking through and you pass the shoe store and you see a pair of shoes you like, you know what you do? You buy them. You buy them. Somebody says, oh, you should get those shoes. They look great on you. You don't say, well, let me pray about it. You don't say, let me pray about it. You just buy them. You go to the restaurant after church, you just order off the menu. Somebody says, you want to get an appetizer? I don't know. What do you like? Oh, let's get such and such. Yeah, you just buy it. You just pay for it. You don't think anything of it. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, you just spend your money. And then we come to church and somebody says, you want to give money to tell people about Jesus? Oh, I need to pray about that. I need to pray about that. Think about how ridiculous that sounds. This is the one thing I shouldn't need to pray about. This is the one thing that obviously I would, it's everything else I ought to be praying about. This is the thing that we know to do. So this is not, I don't know if God wants me to tell people about Jesus or not. Of course God wants us to do this. Let's believe God by faith to use us to do something big and significant for the kingdom. There's pens on the back of your pews if you need them. Ask your neighbor for one. Let's go ahead. Some of you are already writing. Fill those cards out. Fill those cards out. Get them out. And we're going to collect them before we leave today. We're not going to take them home with us. Folks who aren't here can still turn one in next week. And we're going to collect them and lay them right up front here at the altar and pray over them to begin with. And then each month, you can do it through your app. You can do it through our regular offer. You can do it however. In addition to your regular giving, you just designate an amount for missions. You know what, God? I said, it's going to give you this amount a month, this amount a month, and I'm believing for you to provide me with it. Believing you're going to provide me with it. And then just before we collect them, as a last thought to you, remember this as well. One day, every one of us is going to stand before God. Every one of us is going to stand before God one day. And when you stand before God, the Bible teaches us this. Watch this, church. The Bible teaches us that when we stand before God, God's going to look right at us. I'm going to pick on Bethany. Bethany's going to stand before God one day, and God's going to look at her, and he's going to ask her this question. What did you do with the money? God is going to ask you that question when you stand before God. It's very clear in his word. When I stand before God, God is going to look square at me and say, what did you do with the money? It's the parable of the steward. You give an account then when you come before the master of the talents that he gave you, of what he blessed you in. When I stand before God, I don't want to stand before God and he says, what did you do with the money? And I just go, well, it's all gone. I can tell you that. I don't have any of it left. I spent all of it. No. I want to be able to say, God, I supported my family. I was there for them. But I also gave money to missions. I gave money to my church. God, I bought groceries for the folks up the street when they lost their job and helped them out. I helped meet the need in this community. We want to be able to give a good account when we stand before God of what we did. Because he's going to ask us that. This is part of that in our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. What a great privilege it is to answer your call and be a part of what you're doing around the world. This is a very unique weekend in our church. It's different than normal. We understand it to be one of the most important things we do all year. Lord God, as we by faith have filled these cards out, we have put them out and stand there, God. We're committing ourselves in this service to saying, God, if you will bless us, if you will provide, we're going to do our part. We're going to give more. We're going to stretch ourselves. We're going to believe that you're going to increase us. So God, because my brothers and sisters, right now in Jesus' name, right now I ask, Lord God, that you would be the provider. Divine supernatural. I pray raises at work, Lord God. I pray better jobs over us, Lord God. I pray the windows of heaven open over us, Lord God, that you would bless us and provide, Lord God. Would you bless us so that we can be a blessing, we pray, Lord God. Lord God, if you get it to us, I know it sounds like a phrase that might even seem corny, God, but it's so true. You can give it through us, God. We want to give, Lord God, to help support your work. And we trust that you will provide for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ushers, if you begin to walk around the room again and begin to collect these cards, you can hand that card face down to an usher. Please don't fold it up. You can hand that card just face down, and they're going to bring them. Nobody else is, they're going to bring them, and they're going to lay them right here. And we're going to pray over with the ones from the early service as well. Just hand them down your aisle. Hand them down. You can hand them face down. We want to collect those. And what this does as well as a church is we're able to believe and say, God, this is our collective amount that we're believing for, and it helps us in our planning of what we can do in supporting missionaries in the upcoming year. Because I believe God's going to bless us with it. I believe he's going to provide it. Amen. Amen. And ushers, as you collect them, let's just lay them right up here. Open the windows and pray. Amen. Amen. If they haven't got to you, you can wave your cards, and they will. And ushers, if you've got those cards, if you want to bring them to the front, bring them up and just add them to that stack. The cards can come to the front. If you've got some there, ushers, yeah. Let's add those here. Amen. Let's stand. There's some more coming, yeah. Let's stand. I want us to pray right over these right now, even though we're going to continue to do so. Any more out? They want to get them in? What a tremendous weekend this has been. Reports from missionaries around the world. Just tremendous opportunity to hear what God is doing and be a part of it. Come on, family. Stretch your hand forward if you would at this time. I want to pray for God to bless us with this. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're saying yes to you, yes to your will, yes to your way. Lord God, we want to go to our neighbors. We want to go to our community. But we want to answer the call and send. We want to send people around the world. And Lord God, as we have filled these cards out, we have committed ourselves to you. And I believe, Lord God, we believe, we agree together for our brothers and sisters all across this room, as well as for ourselves, that you will provide these amounts in our lives, that you will bring the increase, Lord God, that you will bless us to be a blessing, and we believe that souls are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ through our giving. Eternity is going to be impacted through our giving. We believe for this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Let's believe God. Amen.